Now, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to be in the book of Romans, both services today. This morning, I'm reading from Romans 8, Romans the 8th chapter. Now, tonight, in the event some of you would like to read the scripture before you come to church, you can write down these verses. I'll be speaking tonight from Romans 14, verse 17, Romans 14, 17, through Romans 15, 7. The latter part of verse 14, the first part of verse of chapter 15. Tonight's message will be on the subject, affection and unity among believers. Affection and unity among believers. Now this morning, let's read, beginning with Romans 8, verse 24. Now here's the title of my message: His Purpose. His Purpose. Our only real hope. His Purpose. Our only real hope. Romans 8, verse 24. Now I want you to listen to the reading of the Word, and then I have some things I'd like to say to us. Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Delivered him up for us all, so he will freely give us all things. Now who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Can any of these things separate us? He delivered him up for us, and he'll give us all things. Can anything separate us before this is fulfilled?
from the love of Christ? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him that loved us and gave his son for us and gave us all things. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's face some things as they are. Religion today is so much pretense. Our Lord had a lot to say about that. He said, you make clean the outside, but the inside is full of extortion and excess. He said to those people, he said, you're like sepulchres. He said, on the outside you appear beautiful to me, and on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. So let's be honest and truthful. Let's face things as they are, as they really are. Not as they appear to be, not as men profess them to be, but as they really are. Now, three things I know. I'm a sinner. I'm a fallen creature in Adam. I know the scriptures. The word of God says there's none good, no, not one. None righteous, none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. By one man's sin entered this world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. I know that. Do you know that? I know we all do fade as the leaf. Our unrighteousness has taken us away. Even our righteousness is a filthy rags in God's sight. God looked down from heaven to see if there was any that did do good. And this is not an outward malady. This is an inward disease. It's sin, sin, sin. Your sins have separated you and your God. I know that. God is holy and we're sinful. Second thing, I know this. I know from the Word of God that Jesus Christ the Lord came into this world to save sinners. That God in human flesh, the angel announced it. He said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. He told Joseph, he said, call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. Joshua, God my Savior. He'll save his people from their sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I know that. I know that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses somebody from all sin. The third thing I know is this. All who truly believe on him. I'm not talking now about cattle being herded down the aisles. I'm not talking about folks raising hands when a preacher counts three. I'm not talking about people joining churches and being baptized and preaching and rising high for a little while and disappearing the rest of the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who believe on him. I'm talking about those of whom the word says, he that hath the Son hath life. I know that. He that believe, if you can see, Christ said, he that seeth the Son and believes. If a man can see with an eye of faith, all that God has given in Christ, and believe it, believe it, believe it. He he has everlasting life. God has sent his Son into the world and given us an understanding that we may know God. And this is the true God and eternal life. Now are those three things so, according to this book there? Yet. Now you listen to not one person here, starting with this one, has one shred, not one shred of physical evidence that these things are so. Give me one shred of physical evidence that those things are so that I just said. One, well, just one, Larry, that's all I'm asking. We don't have it, do we? Not physical evidence. No, sir. You've never seen God. I don't care what the preachers say on television. I don't care what they say in their emotional meetings and their charismatic caravans or whatever. They've never seen God with a natural eye and never heard him speak. Ain't nobody here ever seen God. And nobody's ever heard him speak. You may hallucinate. You may have all kind of vision, but you haven't heard God speak, and nobody else has. Now, that's just fact. Is that fact? Let's be honest. Let's quit playing games. Our souls are at stake. Secondly, you've never died. You've never gone to heaven, and you've never lived after death, and you've never met anybody that has. Is that true? Never, never, never. You don't know anybody. Everybody that's ever died, we've buried them, and we've never talked to them since. Never seen them or talked to them. That's just fact. And you've never seen heaven, and you've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life. We talk about the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the names that are written there, but we've never seen it, and nobody else has ever seen it. That's fact. That's one reason the world's laughing at so-called believers, because they're believing something they've never seen. Whom having not seen, you love. And we live in a world of death, a world of change. You and I can't even imagine a world in which no one dies. Can you imagine a world in which no one dies? And nothing dies, and nothing decays, and nothing changes, and everything is holy, and everything is pure, and everything can be trusted, and everything stays the same, everything's righteous, everything's eternal. Apart from the scriptures, you can't even imagine anything like that. When Paul went to the third heaven, and he came back and said, he didn't say anything about it, he just said, I'm sorry. I heard things that are not lawful to be uttered. Tell me, apart from the scriptures, how can these things be? What is heaven really like? What is salvation really like? What is it to be made like Christ? Apart from the Word of God, no one can answer. That's the reason. Romans 8:24, Paul is saying, look, we're saved by hope. We're saved by hope. That's what he's saying. You see it there, verse 24? We're saved by hope, not by sight, not by signs, not by physical evidence. We're saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. Hope, how are we saved? We're saved by hope. A hope in what? Well, a hope in his mercy, not in my merit. A hope in his faithfulness, not in my faithfulness. If I were hoping in my faithfulness, it wouldn't be a very good hope, because the journey's not over yet. But my hope's in his faithfulness. My hope is in his work, not my works. My hope is in his obedience, not in my obedience. My hope is in His righteousness and obedience, not my righteousness. My hope is in His purpose. My hope is in His Word. His Word is the foundation of my hope, and His Son and His obedience and death is the reality and fulfillment of my hope. That's right. Now, I do repent, but it's His goodness that led me to repent. I do believe, but faith is the gift of God. I will, by His grace, continue in faith, but I'm kept by the power of God through faith. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. I do love Christ, but it's His love that's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I love Him because He first loved me. I do have a hope of resurrection and eternal heaven, but only because He lives do I live. It's all in Him. What am I saying? I'm saying this, that we're saved by hope, a hope that's not seen. For He says here, hope that is seen is not hope. What a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But we hope for that which we've never seen. And then we with patience wait for it. I'm saying this, that my hope of resurrection, salvation, acceptance, eternal life, and conformity to Christ is based wholly and completely on Almighty God's purpose in Christ Jesus. Not my profession, not my doings, not my perseverance, but His eternal purpose in Christ before the foundation of the world, in which He included me. And that's what I'm saying. And that's your only hope. I ask these questions. Is the life in me eternal life? It is if He quickened it in me. See that? I claim, Jim, I've got life, been born again. There's a million people in America claim to be born again. Are they all born again? If He quickened them, they are. If He quickened them. Is that life in me eternal life only if He gave it? Otherwise, it's a pretense. Now listen. Is my repentance godly repentance or earthly sorrow? They're awful close. Paul said, earthly sorrow bringeth death, but godly repentance brings life. Which one have I? I'm sorry. I repent. Is it earthly sorrow or is it godly sorrow? It's godly sorrow if God worked it. It's earthly sorrow if the preacher and I worked it. That's so. All right, listen. Is my faith saving faith? Everybody believes something. Everybody believes something. Go up the hills and the hollers. Go far as you want to back in the woods. Go downtown here. Go to the offices and the factories and the shops. Go where you will. Everybody believes something about God. But is my faith, is it saving faith? It is if God gave it. It is if it's the gift of God. It is if God worked it. That's right. Fourthly, is my calling, every preacher I know got called to the ministry. About every church member I know had some kind of calling. Somebody called him. Is my calling a holy calling? Is my calling a heavenly calling? Am I one of the called in Christ Jesus? If He called me, I am. You see what I'm saying? If He called me. My hope of life. I've never seen these things. I've never heard God. I've never seen God. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the book of life. I have no physical proof or evidence whatsoever these things exist. I'm reading it in His book, in His Word. Now, if I'm included in it, The same one that wrote the word is going to have to write it on my heart. I can run up and down the aisle. I can make professions. I can get baptized. I can join a church. I can go to school and study to be a preacher, memorize the scripture and all these things. But I'm still out there. If he didn't call me, if he didn't quicken me, if he didn't give me life, if he didn't bring me to repentance, if he didn't give me faith, will I continue in faith? Umpteen dozen habits. Will I continue? Will I like Abraham? There's so few in the scripture. Abraham, Moses, Noah, Enoch, Abel. These all died in faith. Will you? Will I? I will if he keeps me. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. The church can't keep me. I can't keep myself. Only he can keep me. Will I rise in eternal glory? I will if he raises me. That's the whole. Look at our text here again. Verse 28. And we know. This I know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know. This I know. This is not speculation. This is not a matter of uncertainty. This is not an opinion. This I know, that all things, see verse 28, all things, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, good angels, bad angels, rulers and ministers, good events, bad events, things past, present, and future, all things work together for good. What kind of good? Eternal good. To them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom? For those who are called according to his purpose. The whole world's religious. The whole world has some kind of profession or some kind of hope or some kind of plans or preparation for a home in the sky in the sweet by and by. Is it a reality? Do they have cause to hope? Only if he includes them in his purpose do they have cause to hope. There's no other foundation of hope. Verse 29, Father, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, you didn't have anything to do with it. Them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. Am I justified? I am if he called me. Did he call me? I am if he foreknew me. Did he foreknow me? He did if I'm in his purpose. That's my hope, Ronnie. I'm telling you. You can shuffle it any way you want to, but it comes up that way. And whom he justified, them he glorified. God's purpose. Just turn one page over to Romans 9. And my brothers and my sisters, this is a good hope. This is a good hope. I'll show you that in a minute. But look at Romans 9, verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works now, but of him that calleth, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Who had the good hope? Jacob. What was the foundation of his hope?
God loved him. He didn't love God. God called him. He didn't call God. God sought him. He didn't seek God. That was his hope.
What shall we say, verse 14? Is God unrighteous? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He said to Moses, he said this a long time ago, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You hear people say, God's got a wonderful plan for your life. Let him work it out. He will. If he has a wonderful plan, he may not have a wonderful plan. He may have a plan for your life like he had for the fellow in the next verse. For he said to Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised you up. He had a plan for Pharaoh.
To dump him in the river. Isn't that right? He had a plan for Pharaoh.
For this purpose have I raised you up. For this purpose, this plan. That I might show my power in you. And my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Let me tell you something. We're talking about purpose now. God's purpose. God said to Rebecca, you got two boys in your womb. They've neither done any good or evil, neither one been born. But the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. It was said to her, the elder is going to serve the younger. I love Jacob. I've chosen Jacob. And nothing but good, eternal good, will be his. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't merit it. He doesn't earn it. I give it to him according to my purpose. And he turned right around to Pharaoh and said, I've got a purpose for you too. My name's going to be declared throughout all the earth, and my glory is going to be accomplished in you. My purpose. Do I have a good hope? I'll tell you what it rests on. His purpose. Turn to Ephesians 1. Hold that scripture there. Turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse 9. Ephesians 1. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure which he's purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Based on what? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. His purpose. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 says, I have purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. I've spoken it. I'll do it. Go back to my text. What is? We're saved by hope. Hope in what? Hope that I've believed enough? Hope that I can hold on? Hope that I won't falter and fail and be drawn away from God? Is that my hope? Uh-uh. My hope is that he'll keep me. My hope is that he loved me. He died for me. He called me. He gave me life, and he'll keep me. My hope is in his purpose. That's what David said when he was dying. He said, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is my salvation. This is my desire. Read on. Verse 28, called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called, heavenly calling, a holy calling. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Now watch this. What shall we say to these things? I'll tell you what we say. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for me, if he foreknew me, he said, I know my sheep. If I am in that fold, he said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, I must bring them. There will be one fold and one shepherd. I must bring them. Did he foreknow me? Did he predestinate me? Did he? What is that? That's the plan and the purpose and the events and the occasions that will bring me to the feet of Christ. Did he call me? Did he cross my path? He said of Zacchaeus, he also is the son of Abraham. Am I? Did he justify me? He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me out in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. This is the purpose of him that sent me, that all which he hath given me I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day, glorified. And everyone that seeth the Son and really believes on him, I'll raise him up. That's my hope. That's my hope. And these four questions I asked, verse 31, and what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, what does it matter who's against us? Verse 32, listen. He that spared not his own son, he delivered him up for us all. Every sheep, every elect, every believer, every chosen one. All of them. Jew, Gentile, old, young. He delivered them up for us all. How shall he not, if he gave Christ, and he bruised Christ, and he sacrificed Christ, and he accepted Christ, then how shall God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, not with Christ, freely give us all that Christ purchased for us? He will. That's as sure as he gave Christ, that Christ shall not fail. In verse 33, the next question comes, well, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Are we chargeable? Oh, yeah. Does anyone charge us? We do. We do, and others do too. But can we be charged? Not if we're justified. No one can lay any charge to God's elect. In verse 34, he asks another question. And who can condemn us? We are not condemnable. We cannot be condemned. He gives four reasons. Because Christ died. Because Christ is risen again. And God gave proof to the whole world that what Christ accomplished was accepted in that he raised him from the dead. But he not only raised him, but he's even at the right hand of God. He's our forerunner who has entered within the veil. And not only that, but he makes intercession for us. And who can separate us from the love of God? He said, you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one can separate them from my Father. Not tribulation, trial, not distress, not persecution, not famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Verse 37, and all of these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not through him whom we love. We do love, but that's not it. It's he loved us. It's not my love for him that keeps me. It's his love for me. I'm confident. I'm persuaded that if I'm in Christ, by God's purpose and will, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate me from that love, from that grace, from that mercy, from that acceptance, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Well, what do you call on people to do, preacher? To let go and let God have his wonderful way? No. To walk down the aisle and make a profession of faith? No.
call on them to do what a gentleman did over here in Matthew 8. What a gentleman did over here in Matthew 8, verse 1 through 3. In verse 1 of Matthew 8, says the Lord Jesus was come down from the mountains, and multitudes followed him. Multitudes for whom he did nothing. Nothing. Nothing permanent. Nothing lasting. Nothing good. Multitudes.
And behold, reckon there's a behold here this morning. Behold, there came a leper.
Now this fella, this leper, according to Moses' law, ought not even been there. He's violating the law of being there. He's supposed to be off somewhere in a camp. He's supposed to be off island unclean, 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 unclean. He was leprous. He was corrupted. He was contagious. He was, you name it. But he came.
And he worshiped him. That's the first thing I'm calling on us lepers to do, is fall down.
Quit waving your hand. Quit standing up for Jesus. He doesn't need you. I'm telling you. He's not looking for your help. You don't have anything to offer. This is a leper. He didn't come and say, I've decided to join your army. I decided to preach for you. I decided to serve you, Lord. He's a leper. And he came and fell down and worshiped him. Let all the angels of God worship him, adore him, exalt him, magnify him. That's the first step. Come on down. 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 Worship him. Fall at his feet. I don't like election. I don't like predestination. I tell you, we don't like God. That's our problem. He has the right to choose his bride. You chose yours. He has a right to choose who will be in his heaven. It's his. Can I not do with my own what I will? If he let you in, you'd mess it up. We messed up his garden. We don't belong there, my friends. We forfeited our right. Can we get that through our head? God doesn't need us. He said, if I want anything, I wouldn't ask you. Can we understand that? This leper has nothing to contribute to Jesus Christ. All he can contribute is contamination. All he can do is rub off his slime on somebody else. But he came and fell and worshiped him. Worshiped him. That's where you start. You start by shutting your big mouth and worshiping him. And quit replying against God and telling what you do like and don't like and will believe and won't believe and will do and won't do. You do what he lets you do. That's right. And he said, Lord, sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, if you don't will it, I'll stay where I am. But if you will, you can make me clean. No, I don't believe in free will. I believe in his free will. I believe God's will is free. I will be merciful to whom I will. I will be gracious to whom I will. I will harden whom I will. But your will is in a pickle. That's right. And if he will, he'd make you clean. That's where I'd do. Ain't no use walking the aisle. It's just another aisle. No use making another profession. We've made a half a dozen, hadn't we? Our hope is he included me. That's it. And I'm gonna stay by him till he does something for me.
I'm going to stay at the back door of mercy with my hand up. I'm going to sit on the corner of Skid Row, and I'm going to hold out my cup, hoping he'll fill it. He said, my cup runneth over. I hope he'll fill mine, don't you? I don't want anybody else to fill it. I don't want these preachers filling it. And my cup's empty. They keep telling me if I plant a seed, God will make it grow. I ain't got a seed. I'm bankrupt. Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. I'm not going to play the game. That thief on the cross said, would you remember me? You don't have to. But I'd be much obliged. Oh, he'll never hear the last of it if he saves me. I'm going to give him the glory. Unto him who loved us and washed us. You understand what I'm saying? I know it's contrary to everything men are saying. I know it's the very opposite. I know all over this country they're going to call for people at the end of the service while the choir stands and softly sings, won't you let God have his way? Do you want to meet Mother in heaven? Would you like to accept Jesus? He's not up for acceptance. God accepted him. He's your Lord. He'll do with you what he will. But I'm telling you this, old leper, he's merciful. And we can find our way, not to here, but to his feet. Personally, individually, honestly, sincerely. Lord, I sure need help. Would you remember me? He doesn't have to. But I tell you, he's plenteous in mercy. He delights to show mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. He delights to show mercy. He's not trading or bargaining with any sinner. He's showing mercy. And Cecil, I'm a mercy beggar. I'm a mercy beggar. I'm 64 years old and I'm still a mercy beggar. And when I walk out of this life, if by his grace I enter glory, it'll be as a mercy beggar. That's right. That's best I know how to present it. His purpose is my only hope. Real hope. All right, Mike's going to sing for us now.